Blessed be the one holy and living God.
Glory to God forever and ever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Sirach. Give to the Most High as he has given to you, and as generously as you can afford. For the Lord is the one who repays, and he will repay you sevenfold. Don't offer him a bribe, for he will not accept it, and do not rely on a dishonest sacrifice. For the Lord is the judge, and with him there is no partiality. He will not show partiality to the poor, but he will listen to the prayer of one who is wronged. He will not ignore the supplication of the orphan or the widow when she pours out her complaint. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
We will read the psalm antiphonally, meaning in alternating voices, by whole verse. Those sitting on the same side as the lector over here will read the odd number verses in bold. Those on the side of the choir will read the even numbered verses. How dear to me is your dwelling, O God of hosts. My soul has a desire and longing for your courts. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God.
The sparrow has found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. By the side of your altars, O God of hosts, my ruler and my God.
Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you.
Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way.
Those who go through the desolate valley will find it a place of springs, for the early rains have covered it with pools of water.
They will climb from height to height, and the God of gods will reveal himself in Zion.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Please be seated. I am Portia Hopkins. I am the chaplain at the Belfry, which is the Lutheran Episcopal Campus Ministry to UC Davis, and I am very grateful to you for allowing me to be among you and honored to be able to speak with you today. In today's gospel, Jesus does, as he so often does, and teaches by means of telling a story. Now, those of us who love stories know that stories often have a surprise in them, and stories often have more than one meaning. And both of these things are true of our parable today. So Jesus' stories, where he uses people in them, often will contrast two different types of characters. And quite often for Jesus, it's one who is wealthy and rich and powerful, and another one who is marginalized and poor and oppressed in some kind of way. We have the rich man and Lazarus. We had last week the unrighteous judge and the widow. This parable is different, because one of the surprises in the story is that it does not feature one wealthy, powerful person and another person who is poor, but it features two wealthy and powerful men that are just wealthy and powerful in different ways. So in Jesus' day, a tax collector was not like an IRS agent with a desk and wearing a suit, doing things on his computer, as it would be with in our current day and age. Instead, a tax collector was somebody authorized by the Roman government to collect a certain amount and then required to hand over that amount to the Roman government. The government did not say very much at all about how they got that money or what it was that they needed to do. The government also did not mind if the tax collector collected more than was required by the government and kept the remainder. And so tax collectors back in Jesus' day were often despised by the people from whom they took an unaccountable amount of money and who were made wealthy off of often those who were very most poor. So in this case, we have two powerful men, one who is powerful in the government, but despised of the people, and then the Pharisee, who is powerful in the religious system, in the religious orders. The Pharisees were the ones that interpreted the rules. The Pharisees were the ones that followed the rules. So they were respected in that, in a certain way in the culture, also maybe feared a little bit because they could be critical of others not following the rules. But they had a different type of respect, whereas the tax collector would have had absolutely no respect from the people at all. So what separates these two men is not so much their status, it is instead their attitude. The tax collector appears to have internalized the prevailing statements about them. They feel themselves to be horrible, a horrible person. They feel themselves to have been in a position where they have done horrible things. And this tax collector finally has realized this and has come to a moment of immense sorrow where they mourn for what they have done and who they have been and have many regrets for things and leave, as Jesus says, justified. The Pharisee, on the other hand, has also internalized the narrative about him, that he is a very good person, that he is in fact better than everybody else because he is better at following the rules. And in internalizing that statement, he has come to believe that in fact he is right in all things before God. Essentially, he is saying, God, I thank you that I am better than everyone else. So there's an obvious meaning to this parable. We can all learn something about our own personal and individual responses to the holy. We can make sure to keep an attitude of humility and openness, and not think that we are better than other people. There's a strong human tendency to plant ourselves individually and collectively and to proclaim some version of God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Honestly, the very best among us do it. But there's also a warning in this parable, not for us to just assume that our religious attitudes or beliefs, our actions, are exactly what God wants. The Pharisee was doing everything right according to the religious structure of the day, and yet Jesus says this is the one who leaves here not justified by God. So we can extend this out to what the church of any day accepts and even values and realize that it might be different than what God is actually wanting of us. Historically, the Christian church has very often said, "We thank you that we are not like other people." Even the Episcopal Church has been on the wrong side of many issues: slavery, civil rights, indigenous cultural genocide. It took us quite some time to come around to seeing women as equal to men and offering full rights for LGBTQIA+ people. There is still work to be done in some of these areas in many parts of the Episcopal Church. We are still working to undo the harm that Christian culture has done to so many people so for very long. And yet, we tend to feel, those of us who are in a progressive church setting, thank God we're not like those other churches that are still homophobic, that are still transphobic, that still won't ordain women. We tend to want to settle ourselves on being, wow, we're the right ones. We have done a really good job here. And Jesus' parable should be speaking to us, those of us who actually know that we have done some things well and that we are doing some things right, but that we need to intently continue to listen with humility to re-regard who we are, what we do, how we conduct one another, ourselves as church, and to be willing to change if we find that God, in fact, is giving us a message in that way. Now, I know in preaching sort of progressive church things to St. Martin's, I'm preaching to the choir, but also we don't have to go very far, even in the Episcopal Church, to find that this is not necessarily the status quo in other parishes that might be around us. And it's good for all of us, no matter where we stand, to be pursuing the question of where we individually and corporately might be missing something. Because what just seems obvious and right to us might not be the same thing that is obvious and right to God. I know that I can all too easily be self-righteous, even about being progressive. Thank God I'm not like whoever I see as my enemy. But we all need to keep open hearts and minds and find ways to respond. Both the Pharisee and the tax collector thought that they were living the right way, but only the non-religious one came to realize that he was not. The religious one did not develop that understanding. And when we know better, then we can do better. So here's a fairly easy example of the way in which the church, the Episcopal Church, sometimes pulls itself in and stays a little bit too hidebound. Many churches are not entirely welcoming of young children or of families to be in the service because sometimes there can be disruptions or noises and things are not being done decently, properly, and in good order. We also tend to, a conversation I hear amongst older people a lot, is sort of lamenting that there aren't enough families with young children in church. And something that's often said is, well, when I was raising my kids, there weren't soccer games on Sundays, and the stores didn't open until the afternoon. And so people just came to church because that was what they did. And not necessarily sort of listening to where we are. So instead of bemoaning the problem and how much better things were in our day, something that we might spend some time doing is stop saying, thank God I'm not like that, and then become open to new ways, to new spaces, new ways of welcoming people into our midst. I have two friends who are priests who do this in completely separate contexts. They're in different parts of the country, but they both learned it from the same place. And it's called Pizza Church. And once a month, they invite all of the families, not just the ones who come to church, but any family in the community that wants to, on a Sunday afternoon, to come to church for pizza. That way, the families that are always worrying about, we've got to get dinner, dinner is taken care of, we're having pizza, we're going to have some fun. They invite them into the church building, which becomes then a place that plays with the idea of Eucharist and plays with the idea of communion. Instead of being up behind the altar in the position of power and status, the priest sits on the floor in front of the chancel, and the children and families range themselves on the chancel, kids getting up and walking around if they feel like it, making a little bit of noise here and there, not necessarily expected to sit still. There are very few words in the service, and nearly all of the words that are said by the young people. There are some prompts to help with the Eucharistic prayer, and some questions that are answered, and then the youth and young people get to answer the questions, but that is how the Eucharistic prayer is done. The priest does not say the Eucharistic prayer. The young people are invited to come up and to hold the paten and the chalice and to play with things and to touch it and to have it be a tactile, lived experience for them, not just something that is done separately from them. As I understand, these events are usually pretty chaotic and not something even that all the churches maybe approve of having happen in their sanctuary, up in their chancel. But the people who don't like it are welcome to not come. And that is a way in which church can just be done, flipped on its side, be done entirely differently, welcoming people who often are made to feel like, oh, when you come through the doors, you have to fit our rules. Instead, nope, you come through the doors, and now we are following your rules for a period of time. I think that Jesus probably would have liked that. As I mentioned before, I'm chaplain at the Belfry, but what I have to say is that something like Pizza Church makes the Belfry sound kind of conservative. We do a much more traditional, even though shortened, version of Eucharist than that. But this is a question or an opportunity to listen to the ones among us who have the least power. Gustavo Gutierrez, theologian, is one of my favorites, and he taught the priority option for the poor. And he was speaking of those financially living in deep, deep poverty. But I think that also we can offer the priority option for the poor in spirit, those who often are not listened to in one way or another. Our tax collector was clearly poor in spirit, even though he was a very wealthy man. The Pharisee did not experience himself as being poor in spirit. He experienced himself as having the righteousness that comes with all of the wealth and riches that he had. So recently, one of the things that I am learning to do is to listen to the voices of queer folk, especially those who are trans. The Belfry is a religious space in which cishet folks, so cisgendered, are people whose gender identity goes with the gender they were assigned at birth. I am cis, and het is, of course, heterosexual. But at the Belfry, cishet people tend to be in the minority. We tend to be a not just a queer welcoming space, but I describe it as an assertively affirming space for those who identify as queer, not just some place that is passively welcoming. Amongst the people to whom I am listening in this day and age, I am hearing a palpable sense of fear. The world has changed around them very dramatically and very abruptly. They fear being erased from culture. I've seen parents of trans kids tear up when they realize that they can't take their child to Disney World in Florida because it would not be a safe space for them, or because they cannot get on an airplane because they do not have ID that will match their gender identity. Some families just can't travel out of state at all, and other trans people are not able to have passports or to travel out of the country. A lot of trans people that I know are like people of color in that they keep a go bag packed and are aware that at some point they might just have to leave, and they might need to be ready to go on a moment's notice if things become very frightening and very dangerous in a sudden way that they don't expect. They have plans for what happens if they need to leave the country and maybe not return. A lot of cishet people, including myself, would rather not know this. And a lot of people tend to think that this is an overreaction somehow, and it is not. We are living in a time that is actually dangerous for many people among us. It's very easy for me to see myself as progressive and say, thank God, I am not like those homo and transphobic Christians or people in government that do these things. But that is not enough. Instead, I need to listen to my own internalized attitudes. I need to weep with those who weep. I need to hear and hold and honor the stories of others. And I need to repent my part in the systems that do evil to other people. There's a new organization in Davis, the YOLO Interfaith Queer Alliance, and it is an absolute honor to me as a cishet person to have been invited into the room to help do some event planning with them. As you'll see in your bulletin there, they are doing a line dance today that is intended to be an absolutely held safe space for those who identify as queer to just get together and be able to enjoy themselves and have fun. Pamela is another one who participates in this group and offers leadership to it, and we are very, very honored to be able to do that. It's very easy for us as Episcopalians to say, thank God we're not like the other churches where we can't do these things. But we are also often guilty of small microaggressions that we are not even aware of. And so what we need to do is do all that we can before God to listen deeply and repent of the ways that we've internalized messages about wealth, about power, about status, about religiosity, about order as being values for us. And we need to continually repent of the wrongs that we've done as part of unjust systems from which we benefit. And when we know better, then we need to do better. Then along with the tax collector, we too can return home justified. Amen.
Please stand as you are able as we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.
With grateful hearts, let us pray as one body, asking God's blessing on the church and the world.
I ask your prayers for the church, God's great gift to us, for all who worship and serve this day, for the wisdom and teaching of our bishops, priests, deacons, and lay people. We pray especially for our presiding Bishop Sean, for our Bishop Megan, and for Portia, chaplain at the Belfry. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
I bid your prayers for our nation and for all nations, for all refugees, for an end to hostilities, and for a spirit of goodwill. We pray for our citizens to make wise and thoughtful decisions, and for our leaders to serve with love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
I ask your prayers for our neighbors, for the mission of our church, and the ways we touch the world with our gifts. May we continue to grow in a spirit of inclusion, welcome, and love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
I invite your prayers for those who are sick, who are isolated, who are in despair. We pray for the caregivers and healers who care for those we love. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
I ask your prayers for the dead and the dying and for those who mourn. Lord, in your mercy, I invite your celebrations, remembrances, and the naming of our many blessings, innumerable and filled with grace. May we be inspired to share our wealth, works, and wisdom with our neighbors and our church. We give thanks today for all who have pledged, for all plate offerings, and for all who give their time and talent to the church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Hear the prayers of your people, O God, and inspire us with gratitude and abundance as we return the gifts you have given us by loving our neighbors and all creation.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. I'll call order so Pamela doesn't have to. I'm Elise Keddie of the Vestry, and I'm here to give a few announcements that you will find the entire list of announcements in your yellow sheet, which I do hope you'll take home. Specifically, I'm going to focus on things today. So first and foremost, the pop-up choir is singing, and it is an anthem that many of you know already, so you are very welcome to join us. After the offertory sentence is said, there are noisemakers, and it's a quick experience. After today's service, please stay for lunch. We've got a catered lunch by Dos Coyotes. There will be a mariachi band, and really this is in thanksgiving for the stewardship campaign that is nearing its completion. Pamela will speak to that. Portia mentioned today that there, this afternoon, there is a YOLO Interfaith Queer Alliance gathering with line dancing. Like I said, that's this afternoon. Notice it in the bulletin, it says call the church office. Well, there are folks here who can definitely tell you the location of that gathering. And just check in with Portia, check with Pamela. It's a place relatively nearby and one that's very familiar to us here. without naming it. Thinking ahead to next week, there will be a reading of the necrology, and if you have names you would like remembered, those who have passed over the past year, to be included in that reading, please notify the church office by Wednesday. And last thing I want to mention is there is a formation class starting next Sunday that is sort of introduction and information about the Episcopal Church. Pamela will be leading that. That is certainly available for those who are discerning their interest in reception into this denomination, confirmation. But of course, all who are welcome, as someone who was confirmed when she was 11, you know, the church is a different place. You heard it from Portia, and always a good thing to get to meet new people and sort of learn some new things that have taken place. Pamela, back to you.
Thank you, Elise. We have, as we were saying, this is our day when we're celebrating, we're having an in-gathering. We're grateful for the pledges we have received so far. There are pledge cards in the narthex. I don't know if you have time to run back and get one if you have not turned yours in already. And if you have sent it in or you've sent in an email, thank you so much. We have posters that show, there's one here, and that is our financial goal is there. So we want all of those cells, the honeycomb, to be filled in. They're not quite all there yet, but we're getting there. And in the narthex, there's a different poster that shows how many pledges we have received, because both having a wide number of people, having really ideally everyone who comes to church send in a pledge, it can be for $10, it can be whatever you can afford, really makes a difference in feeling like we're all in this together, as well, of course, as we have budget goals that we're hoping to reach. So anyway, if you haven't sent yours in yet, no worries. We will always accept your pledge. If you would like to fill in a pledge card today and put it in the collection basket during the offertory, that is an option for sure. Really, Elise did a great job of covering so much that's on here. There's always more than we can talk about just on our yellow sheet alone. I did want to say congratulations to the Bake Off winners. Last Sunday we had our, yes, they're listed here. I won't read them out loud since the names are here, but it was really fun to have what I think we're going to now call our first annual Great St. Martin's Bake Off. So hopefully that means we'll be doing that again. One other word about the formation class. I've had several people tell me that they want to do this. Some of them are considering being received or confirmed. Some of them just want to be in kind of a class where they get to talk about some of these fundamentals, basics of our faith. If you are one of those people, could you drop a note into the office, info@, or my email address, Pamela@. If you don't do it, it doesn't mean you can't come. It will just help me plan to have a sense of how many people we think are going to be there. So that starts next week, right after this service. That day, we're also having Sacred Ground in the afternoon, right? So it's going to be a... And if you haven't joined Sacred Ground, I haven't asked Carol this, but I think we could still get you in there. So if you're interested in that, let me know about either of those. All right. I see that we have some ushers in the back, and they are holding bags because we offer welcome bags to people who are new. I call these like our no strings attached bag, but you have to raise your hand so they know that you have not yet received a welcome bag. There is chocolate inside. There's good information inside. Please don't be shy. We don't embarrass people. Well, we try not to. I can't promise. Thank you to Portia for being here today for her wonderful sermon. I heard somebody describe today's reading as being about we're so grateful that we're not like the people who aren't like the people. You know, it can kind of go on and on. It's like feeling better than the people who feel better than. But I thought she did a wonderful job with that and reminding us of all the ways that we can open up our welcome. There was a time when Dia de los Muertos was not regularly celebrated in the Episcopal Church, and now it's actually one of our accepted, authorized celebrations. So the church does change, and I'm grateful for that. All right, I know we have a couple of celebrations and milestones. Yes. You finished what? Your soccer season. Oh, we're probably coming to the end of some soccer seasons. That's a big one. Good job. Yeah. Yes. And I see a hand up over here. Did you have an announcement for us? Oh, well, so there have been some. Oh, you have a friend who has a birthday today. Your dad had a birthday just recently. And is that your baby brother who just, what is it? CJ. And I think this is CJ's first time in church because CJ's brand new, so welcome. And we have more new babies here today too. This is wonderful. I know we announced the birth, but it's so good to see you. So yeah, sorry, yes. Halloween anniversary, 15 years. Congratulations. I don't want to miss anybody over here. Okay, coming to this side. Yes? A Halloween birthday. Oh, how fun. My brother's is just a few days before Halloween. I always like to tease him about how he should have been born on that day, but he was not. Yes? Oh, it's so good to always love having family and visitors here. You're very welcome. Please stay after. We're having that great lunch and music and everything else. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry for the fear that your family member is feeling. I really am. And we rejoice for those birthdays also. And we also had an announcement, well, not I made the announcement, at the 8 o'clock service that our former senior warden, Bob Polkinghorne, is back in town after having completed the Camino. So we've had lots of really cool things to celebrate and milestones to remark on. We have a prayer that we say together on page 4 under Celebrations and Milestones. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have communion at the altar rail at this service. Apparently, I was a little confusing the way I explained it last time because I was trying to go fast. I'll just say the ushers are going to be up front during the whole time that we're having communion together so that they can give you the nod when it's time to take your place at the altar rail. We start in the back and then work our way around to the front, and then we try to wait for just about everyone to be off of the altar rail before the next group comes in, starting at the back and working their way around to the front. When a priest gives you the bread, then you can either consume it right away and have the wine or just consume the bread, or you can hold on to it, and the person coming by with the wine, if you hold the bread out to them, they know that what you want them to do is to dip the bread or intinct it into the wine and give it back to you to consume them both together. And feel, you know, just watch the person ahead of you. If it's confusing, you can ask someone, you can talk to the people who are giving you communion. We're happy to try to help out. Our bread is vegan and gluten-free,
and we invite everyone to come to the table. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these generous offerings that are done to the building up of your kingdom here at St. Martin's. You are the God who welcomes all, who knows all, and who loves all. And we seek to follow in your footsteps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Lord of all life, you created the universe where all living things reflect your glory. You give us this great and beautiful earth to discover and to cherish. You give us your love even when things go wrong. Jesus knew hurt and pain.
Through him you wipe away our tears and fill us with your peace, and you give us happy times and things to celebrate. In these we taste your kingdom, a feast for all your children. You made us all, each wonderfully different, to join with the angels and sing your praise. We thank you, loving Father, because when we turned away, you sent Jesus, your Son. He gave his life for us on the cross and shows us the way to live. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us Christ's body and his blood. On the night before he died, when darkness had fallen, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." After they had eaten, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." So, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate his love, his death, his risen life. As you feed us with these gifts, send your Holy Spirit and change us more and more to be like Jesus, our Savior. Help us, Father, to love one another as we look forward to that day when suffering is ended and all creation is gathered in your loving arms. And now, with Blessed Martin and all your saints, we give you glory through Jesus Christ in the strength of the Spirit, today and forever. Amen. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria. Ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia!
The gifts of God for the people of God. Please rise for the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Holy One, you feed us with bread from heaven and the gifts of Mother Earth. In this communion, you have drawn us into your embrace, and you call us to friendship with one another. You have given us the gift of reconciliation. May we who have tasted that gift from you offer ourselves in peace and humility to one another. And may you always walk among us as a friend. Amen. The wisdom of God, the love of God, and the grace of God strengthen you to be Christ's hands and heart in the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you today and always.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.